At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Picture this. You're 22 years old, you've just won MTV's Model Mission Competition, and you're walking the runways of New York Fashion Week. The world feels like it's opening up for you. Then, within the span of a few months, in 2003, you allegedly cross paths with two of the most powerful men in entertainment. Both supposedly offer to help your career. Both allegedly drug you. Both allegedly assault you. And then you spend the next 22 years in silence watching these men become even more powerful while you struggle with depression, anxiety, and what you now recognize as trauma. This is Crystal McKinney's story, and it's one that connects two of the biggest criminal cases in recent entertainment history. She's the woman who has accused both Sean Diddy Combs and Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault, making her perhaps the only known survivor to have allegedly been victimized by both men. And if you think that's just a coincidence, well, buckle up, because this story gets a lot more disturbing before it gets hopeful. Let me take you back to 2003. Bush is president, flip phones are cutting-edge technology, and Crystal McKinney is living what should be every aspiring model's dream. She's 22, she's got the MTV win under her belt, and she's working the fashion circuit in Manhattan. During Men's Fashion Week, she gets introduced to Sean Combs at his Sean John fashion show. And look, if you're a young model trying to make it in 2003, getting noticed by Diddy isn't just a career opportunity. It's like winning the lottery. The man was at the absolute peak of his influence, money flowing like water, connections everywhere that mattered. According to the federal lawsuit McKinney filed in 2024, Combs allegedly told her he was interested in helping her modeling career grow. He invited her to his recording studio later that night. Now, if you're thinking this sounds like the setup to every cautionary tale ever told about the entertainment industry, you're not wrong. But remember, she's 22, she's ambitious, and this is the kind of opportunity that young people in entertainment dream about. She arrives at the studio to find Combs drinking and smoking with several other men. Someone offers her what she thinks is marijuana. She's young. She's trying to fit in, so she says yes. But here's where the story takes a dark turn. an associate of Combs, allegedly asked if she'd ever smoked weed before, and when she said yes, he replied, "You've never had weed like this before." According to the lawsuit, McKinney later realized that Combs had allegedly laced the joint with some kind of narcotic or other intoxicating substance. What happened next, according to the lawsuit, was an assault in a bathroom that would haunt McKinney for the next two decades. The lawsuit accuses Combs of causing lifelong harm to McKinney. And this isn't just legal language. This is a woman describing how one night allegedly destroyed her sense of safety and derailed the career she'd worked so hard to build. But here's where the story gets even more twisted. A few months later, in 2003, while McKinney is still processing what allegedly happened with Combs, she finds herself in another situation that should have been a career opportunity, but turned into another nightmare. Harvey Weinstein, who at the time was basically the king of Hollywood, allegedly used the exact same playbook. The lawsuit McKinney filed against Weinstein in 2025 alleges that he raped her and a friend in his hotel room after luring them with promises of business opportunities. And get this, according to the court documents, an executive had allegedly told McKinney something that should have been a massive red flag. Don't sleep with him until he puts you in a movie. But instead of being a warning, it became a cruel prediction of what was to come. The pattern is sickeningly familiar. Weinstein allegedly plied McKinney and her friend with alcohol, just like Combs allegedly drugged her with the laced marijuana. Both men were in positions of ultimate power in their respective industries. Both allegedly used career advancement as bait. Both allegedly incapacitated their victims before assaulting them. It's like they were reading from the same predator handbook. The psychological impact on McKinney was devastating. Following these alleged incidents, she experienced what the lawsuit describes as depression, anxiety, anger, self-blame, suicidal ideation, body image issues, and demoralization. Imagine being 22 years old and having your entire sense of self shattered by two men who were supposed to be helping your career. The modeling career that had brought her into these dangerous orbits never fully recovered. The young woman who had once won MTV competitions and walked runways found herself struggling just to get through each day. For over 20 years, McKinney carried this weight in silence. 20 years. Think about that. She watched Combs become even more successful, expanding his empire, getting praised as a business mogul and cultural icon. She watched Weinstein dominate Hollywood, winning Oscars, being treated like royalty at every film festival and award show. Meanwhile, she's dealing with the aftermath of what allegedly happened to her, probably wondering if anyone would ever believe her, probably thinking she was somehow to blame. This is the insidious thing about how power works in entertainment. These men weren't just wealthy, they were gatekeepers. They could make or break careers with a phone call. They were surrounded by people who depended on them for their livelihoods. Even if someone wanted to speak out, who were they going to tell? The police? Good luck proving anything against men with teams of expensive lawyers, the media. These guys had relationships with every major publication. Other people in the industry? Those people needed to work with Combs and Weinstein to feed their families. But McKinney stayed silent, like so many others did, watching these men accumulate more power, more wealth, more influence, while carrying the secret of what they allegedly did to her. It's like being forced to watch your attackers get rewarded for their crimes while you suffer in silence. It wasn't until 2024 that everything changed. The Me Too movement had shifted the cultural landscape. Other women had come forward with allegations against both men. Legal changes like the NYC Gender-Motivated Violence Act gave survivors new avenues for seeking justice. And perhaps most importantly, other women speaking out gave McKinney the courage to break her own silence. McKinney has said she felt a moral obligation to speak up after seeing other allegations against Combs emerge. Think about the courage that took. After 21 years of silence, she decided to relive her trauma in public, knowing she'd face scrutiny, victim blaming, and legal battles that could drag on for years. She filed her lawsuit against Combs under the NYC Gender Motivated Violence Act, finally putting her story on the record. But McKinney's journey toward justice didn't end there. In 2025, emboldened by her decision to speak out against Combs and recognizing the pattern of predatory behavior, she made the difficult choice to also pursue legal action against Weinstein. She amended her suit to include allegations against Weinstein, describing the hotel room assault from 2003. This makes McKinney unique in the Me Too era. She's potentially the only known survivor to have been allegedly victimized by both Combs and Weinstein, two men who represent the apex of power in their respective industries. Her cases create an unprecedented legal and cultural moment connecting two of the most high-profile sexual assault prosecutions of recent years. And here's where the story gets even more surreal. While McKinney is fighting for justice against these two men, the political world has inserted itself into her story in the most bizarre way possible. President Trump has indicated he would consider pardoning Diddy if he's convicted. Let that sink in for a moment. A woman spends 22 years gathering the courage to seek justice for an alleged assault, and the President of the United States is out there suggesting he might just wipe the slate clean if her alleged attacker gets convicted. This prompted a response from 50 Cent, who has a long history of feuding with Combs. 50 Cent publicly opposed Trump's consideration of a pardon, though he had to clarify that he didn't say he would nuke anything, just that he would make sure Trump was aware of the seriousness of the charges. It's almost darkly comic that a rap beef from the early 2000s is now playing out in the context of a potential presidential pardon for sex trafficking charges. Meanwhile, Jamie Foxx has been making his own commentary on the situation. During a recent appearance at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, Foxx called Combs a nasty mother fear and made references to the baby oil allegations that have become central to the prosecution's case. Foxx's comments hit differently because he had previously been forced to address conspiracy theories linking Combs to his own 2023 hospitalization. Now he's publicly distancing himself while the trial proceeds. But let's get back to McKinney, because in all this celebrity drama and political posturing, it's easy to lose sight of the human being at the center of this story. Her willingness to face the scrutiny, legal challenges, and public attention that comes with taking on such powerful figures demonstrates remarkable courage. She's not just seeking justice for herself, she's potentially paving the way for other survivors who may have encountered similar situations. The similarities between her alleged experiences with both men are striking and disturbing. Both allegedly used career opportunities as bait. Both allegedly used substances to incapacitate their victims. Both exploited young women who were trying to build careers in industries where these men held enormous power. This suggests these weren't isolated incidents, but part of systematic predatory behavior. Her story illuminates something really dark about how power operates in entertainment industries. It's not just that these men were wealthy or famous, they were ecosystem builders. They created networks of dependence where everyone around them needed their approval to succeed. They weren't just individual predators, they were allegedly operating within systems that protected them and silenced their victims. The fact that one woman encountered two such powerful alleged predators within months of each other in 2003 raises uncomfortable questions about how interconnected these networks might have been. Was it really just coincidence that McKinney crossed paths with both men? Or does it suggest that predatory behavior was more systematic and widespread than we've understood? As both criminal trials proceed, McKinney's testimony and legal filings serve as crucial evidence in understanding the scope and methods of alleged predatory behavior in entertainment. Her cases aren't just about two individual men. They're about interrogating entire systems that may have enabled abuse. Weinstein's legal team has responded predictably, calling McKinney's allegations outlandish and fantastical, and suggesting the timing is suspicious because she filed against Weinstein after filing against Combs. This is classic victim blaming disguised as legal strategy. Of course, she filed against Combs first. She had to work up the courage to speak out at all. And of course, she then recognized the pattern and decided to seek accountability from Weinstein, too. That's not suspicious. That's what healing and empowerment look like. Right now, as I'm telling you this story, Combs is sitting in a federal courthouse facing racketeering and sex trafficking charges. Weinstein is dealing with his own legal battles. And Crystal McKinney is continuing her fight for justice more than two decades after these alleged attacks changed the trajectory of her life. Her journey from a promising 22-year-old model to a survivor who found the courage to seek justice represents both deeply personal healing and a broader cultural reckoning with power and abuse in entertainment. The outcomes of her cases will likely influence how future allegations are handled and may encourage other survivors to come forward. But here's what really gets me about McKinney's story. She's not asking for anything extraordinary. She's not seeking fame or trying to become a celebrity. She's asking for something that should be basic: accountability. She's saying that powerful men shouldn't be able to allegedly drug and assault young women and then spend decades getting richer and more powerful while their victims suffer in silence. The fact that this is somehow controversial, the fact that a sitting president would consider pardoning someone facing these charges, the fact that it took 22 years for McKinney to feel safe enough to speak out tells you everything you need to know about how broken these systems really are. As McKinney continues her legal battles, her story serves as a reminder that behind every high-profile case are real people whose lives were forever altered by those who allegedly abused their power. Her courage in speaking out after more than two decades offers hope to other survivors while demanding accountability from industries that may have long protected predators. The question now is whether the justice system will finally deliver the accountability that McKinney has been seeking for over 20 years, or whether power and influence will once again shield alleged predators from consequences. One thing is certain: Crystal McKinney has already won something important. She's reclaimed her voice, and she's using it to demand justice not just for herself, but for every other survivor who has been silenced by power and fear. And that voice, after 22 years of silence, is finally being heard.